section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
New U.S. champions, Cena news, and Brock Lesnar returns. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have a special guest, Roger Cave. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. So Pop TV may be moving to a higher cable package. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so it was announced that Pop TV, that Comcast would be potentially moving them to a next tier cable package. And why this is big news is because a lot of people, myself included, really only get the first tier. You know, that's where you get a few cable channels. USA is included in there, for example. And Pop TV for me is currently included in there, which is why I get it. And of course, HD, but also I get TNA now. And I wasn't getting it originally when it was on Destination America because it was a higher package. And I would only do it every now and then. Sometimes I would do it. Sometimes I wouldn't. And if TNA goes to a higher cable package for me, I don't know if it's going to succeed because it's going to be in less households.
And that's a big deal because, like, for instance, right now, I don't get it. I get it in standard def. So, like, if watching Impact, it's really crappy because the picture quality is not the greatest. But
it's not the matches.
That's why Impact is crappy.
Yes, exactly. But overall, it, you know, that's just interesting that they're going to, you know, change it just because TNA is on there. But maybe they're going to be a different network. We don't know yet, so we'll just wait and see what happens. Now, the other thing that I think is really interesting is that Daniel Bryan's in the news, but it's for a false rumor. What happened was a person who talked about the John Cena injury said that he was going to take time off. He also leaked another document stating that Daniel Bryan is actually going to be terminated, or he's getting his release as of the 18th of January. But it turns out this is false rumor. What were your thoughts if he actually left, Roger?
At first, I wouldn't have been surprised if he had asked for his release. I kind of heard the rumors that he's been cleared by a second doctor, but the WWE doctors won't clear him. So it wouldn't be all that shocking for him to go. But I don't see anywhere for him to go. Like, I don't think TNA is a viable option for him. I don't think Ring of Honor, just because of his health, I don't think he can wrestle that kind of brutal schedule. I don't think he can do NJPW. And I think if he can't get cleared, I think he's going to be turning into the Christian role for WWE. He's just going to be a presence. But, maybe his career is over, sadly.
Yeah, you know, I think that we'll see, because Roger and I are going to the Raw that is in Seattle. And I can almost guarantee that Daniel Bryan's going to be there because he was so over when he was out here before. And I don't understand, honestly, why WWE has not used him or utilized him in some capacity, other than the fact that they have Roman Reigns. And, you know, Daniel Bryan is 10 times more over than Roman Reigns will ever be. So I can understand why they don't want him to overshadow that. But other than that, they are in such desperate need of stars right now. They desperately need to have him join the main roster again, or just go to SmackDown, you know, honestly, like have him just be on SmackDown.
Yeah. And that Raw is actually going to be in February. It's February 8th. So you never know what's going to happen. We didn't talk about this last week because, well, we missed it. But John Cena is hurt. He actually tore his rotator cuff. Aaron, is this going to hurt WWE, or is it going to help? Are they going to finally push guys that are not named John Cena or Undertaker?
Are they going to push guys not named Roman Reigns? No, they are not going to push guys not named Roman Reigns. I think John Cena has kind of taken a little bit of a backseat in the past year. And that's something, to be honest, I've really enjoyed. I like John Cena and the role he's been in. You know, his multiple matches with Rusev, not a huge fan of. But he had a good, you know, 3-match series with Kevin Owens, and then he's moved on to other matches as well. Honestly, the U.S. Open Challenge was kind of neat. You know, you got to see people come out that you did not expect. That was kind of cool to see. But I think it does hurt WWE. It doesn't really set John Cena's career back any. You know, it doesn't. But it does hurt WWE because you don't have that made person there that can help potentially put over some younger stars.
I think this is a pretty devastating hit for WWE, mostly because it's kind of another one of the long line of injury. I mean, their injury list could fill up a roster of top tier talent right now between Rollins and Cena and Cesaro. And I'm pretty sure we can go Orton. I mean, the list can go on and on. Where this really hurts, and in my eyes especially, is WrestleMania. A Cena match is one of the big WrestleMania matches, right? You have your Undertaker match, you have your main event match, you have your Triple H match, and you have your Cena match. You don't have your Cena match this year. Maybe you have an Undertaker match. Maybe it's just final Undertaker match. I mean, just right now, looking at that card, I'm a little terrified. What do you have that says, hey, watch me? Without Cena, and I don't think we loved the Cena-Rusev, but it was a good feud in the sense of it made Rusev a bigger star potentially. Same thing with Wyatt. It could have made them bigger stars. It made Kevin Owens a much bigger star. Mm-hmm. Him beating Cena at Elimination Chamber was like, hey, you've arrived. There's no chance for a guy to get that rub at 32, and that hurts them. I mean, they need guys right now desperately. They have maybe 2-3 bankable stars, and that's a problem.
Do you think that's why they signed AJ Styles? Well, the rumor, they signed Styles and some members of the Bullet Club. Do you think that's the real reason why they signed them?
I think that was in the works for a while. I don't think that was a reactionary move. I think Triple H is very much trying to build NXT into the best roster of talent on the planet. Like, I think he wants NXT to be the place to be. I mean, with Samoa Joe and Finn Balor, and let's say AJ Styles goes there, that might be the best collection of talent you've seen since WWE circa 2001, 2002. Now, I mean, that's a pretty crazy collection.
Now, do you think that AJ Styles is actually going to appear at the Royal Rumble?
No, I don't think he's at the Royal Rumble at all.
Had to ask. So let's talk about some WWE program for this week. So is it Mauro Ranallo? Is that right?
Ranallo.
He's the new voice of SmackDown, and I got to tell you, SmackDown has been great. Listening to him call the match, it is so – I don't even know how to explain it. It's like
– it's like watching wrestling?
It's like, yeah. Like, you're like, oh, it's working great. He's – like, I like his voice. I think it sounds great. When he was doing NJPW on Access – his voice was there. That was perfect. And it works out great for SmackDown.
The thing about an announcer is that you want them to tell a story. Why is he working that arm? Why is he working that leg? You know, oh, he's working that leg because it'll be harder than to pick him up and do this maneuver to him. You know, that's a smart move. You know, it like saying, oh, he's doing a suplex. He is doing an arm drag. And it doesn't take out of the entertainment aspect. Actually, to be honest, as a wrestling fan, it pulls me in more, and it SmackDown is something I watch on fast forward, and because I didn't know the name, but I knew the voice, and when I knew it was him, I watched SmackDown matches. It's crazy. I don't watch SmackDown matches, and I hope and pray that he is an announcer or he helps in some capacity at the Royal Rumble, because if he does, he will outshine Michael Cole. And it will be glorious.
And that is exactly why he will not be at the Royal Rumble. I do think this goes into my idea, though, of a brand split. Mm-hmm. Because you have two very distinct shows right now. You have Raw, which is very Vince McMahon packaged entertainment. And I think you have Ranallo, who's more of Triple H's idea of a storyteller. He's going to call wrestling moves. If you really wanted to split the brands, you now have a Raw and a SmackDown package on USA. This is the time to do it, because a Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor with Ranallo calling is going to be a lot better than with Michael Cole, mm-hmm. who has been calling for 15 years. I don't think I can think of one iconic call from Michael Cole. JR, I can think
Stone Cold.
Good God, he killed Foley.
He broke him in half.
That's got to be Kane from Vince McMahon. I mean, every announcer, I mean, Hina and Monsoon go without saying. Yeah. What has Cole really ever called that's made you enhance a moment? Like, an announcer should be a good wine for food. It should enhance it. It shouldn't distract it. It shouldn't be the main focus, but it should bring out the best in it. Cole does not do that. Lawler does not do that. Booker T doesn't do that. He's funny, but he doesn't make the match better.
Booker T.
Byron Saxton is horrible. Ranallo, actually, I mean, Corey Graves does a good job on NXT. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the other guy's name. I want to say Brennan, potentially. They do solid jobs. This guy is the first legit announcer they've had since JR retired.
What if he goes to NXT and announces matches? Do you think that'll even make the brand better? Like, way over the top?
Yeah, but I don't think you have him go back to NXT. You know, nothing against NXT, because we obviously think it is a superior brand than to Raw or SmackDown. But, you know, I don't think that'd be a good move. I think, you know, we were talking off air, and, you know, I think we're all in agreement that it'd be kind of nice if SmackDown became NXT, you know, and if that was the case, then you'd be able to see Balor and Joe with him calling it, and you would see an amazing match, and you would feel the amazing match too, because you would feel the emotion that's going on in that match. And that's something that I don't think Cole does, you know, for any match that he calls. And it's not a knock on his announcing style as much as it is he's working with what he's able to. And he probably is not the type of guy to push the limit like JR probably would. JR would probably stand up to McMahon a little bit, you know, a little bit, not a whole lot. Cole is probably yes, sir, no, sir type of person.
Well, yeah. JR had a JR brand, so
yeah.
JR could be successful in WCW or ECW or TNA. Michael Cole doesn't. I mean, he's Josh Matthews if he goes to TNA, right? He's just a man who used to work in WWE. I mean, let's just be honest, right? Michael Cole himself is not the Oklahoma Sooners don't want him to call football games. I mean, they were talking about JR potentially calling football not too long ago. So I think maybe the Jets or the Bills or something like that. The one thing I don't think you want him to go to NXT, because I think NXT as a product already is fine. I think it's a good product. I think it sells. I think right now you want to be working on improving the main roster. SmackDown needs help. It is a throwaway show. A good announcer can start to bring it up just a little bit more to respectable.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the other thing is that Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens are going to have a last man standing match at Royal Rumble. It's been a while since we saw one of those matches, and it's going to be really intriguing because are they going to be in the Rumble then? That's the other thing. We don't know. And that's
You know, last man standing match, Cena's not in there, so that means that the heel could win. There's a potential there. But I
hope he lost a last man standing match before.
Has he?
Yeah, I think Big Show beat him. Or Edge beat him.
Really?
When Big Show threw him into the lights.
Oh, did he beat him, or did they say it's a double DQ?
Edge won the match. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a DQ. It's a DQ now. Like, what? I hope this is the end. I actually have enjoyed this feud, though. I think Ambrose and Kevin Owens are a very perfect mid-card feud done, for the most part, pretty well. I have been very intrigued by it. I don't know. I wonder what they're going to do with Kevin Owens next, though. That's the only thing. They had talked about potentially having him against Brock, but I don't think that that's where Brock should have his sights set on, you know. And instead, you know, there's been rumors about Kevin Owens and Undertaker since Cena's not available. And Kevin Owens and Undertaker could also be a pretty interesting match. But I think what you have to do here is you have to move this on. You have to move it quickly, because if Kevin Owens is getting set up for a major WrestleMania feud, you have to then build him back up after losing in a last man standing match to Dean Ambrose.
Let me throw something out there. With Cena out of the picture, Kevin Owens made his debut by coming out and challenging Cena and being the guy to come after him. Couldn't you do a similar role where someone from NXT, someone who has a history with Kevin Owens, who maybe challenged him at NXT, but they never really had their match, comes out and challenges Kevin Owens at a Raw in February? Because I do think Kevin Owens versus Samoa Joe at WrestleMania is a pretty good match you could have. Joe being a heel, irregardless, he shows up and the crowd's going to go wild. That's a solid match that could get a lot of people. That's a good mid-card match for WrestleMania.
All right, so you went Samoa Joe, because I was kind of thinking Andy's boy.
Sami Zayn.
So, okay, I would love Sami Zayn. Here's my only concern with him. Is he healthy? Because if you have him go against Owens, I want a hard-hitting match. He threw out his shoulder taking a move from Cena, if I'm correct, his little like proto flip spin-around backdrop. Do I want him in a match with Kevin Owens and hitting that offense and potentially dislocating every bone in his body? Like, give Sami 6 months and he'll put on one of the matches of the year. I just don't know if I want to throw him in that WrestleMania match. It's kind of like Daniel Bryan ladder match. Are you risking too much? I mean, Sammy's only 31, I think, 32. Mm. He's young enough where he's got a lot left. I don't know if I want to put his career at risk. Not for that. And there are other options, I think, for Owens.
I really would like to see Owens versus Zayn at WrestleMania, because they could, especially because they'll put him out the opening match, they'll tear it down. They'll give him 15. Well,
that would be the problem.
But yeah.
Well, they would tear it down, and then we'd be like, oh, what's this crap match that's happening? Oh, jeez. Time to go to the bathroom.
There's a reason why Daniel Bryan's match was number one at WrestleMania last year.
Well, 2 years in running.
Yeah, that's true.
But see, when Hunter gets an opening match, it gets 20 minutes.
Yeah. I actually watched the WrestleMania 30 match with him and Hunter, because I was just kind of curious about it. I normally don't rewatch matches. Okay, it wasn't too bad.
3.5 stars?
Yeah. You know, like there were some like moments in there that were just kind of like, ugh, really? It wasn't bad, though. You know, it wasn't bad. And the thing, though, that crowd that WrestleMania crowd, dear God, like Daniel, like, oh my God, like that. I don't know why you don't put your entire company behind this man, injured or not, just like Stone Cold, when he was injured, it was amazing. You do the same thing with Daniel Bryan, but you have the storyline where, oh, you can't wrestle because you're injured, blah, blah, blah. And then you have him do a running knee to McMahon. Do you have any idea the pop that would happen for that versus
McMahon? You have him do that to Hunter.
Yeah. But either way, like the pop for the running knee to McMahon to Hunter versus a spear to Hunter or McMahon. No contest. Daniel Bryan's going to, you know, it's going to explode no matter
what. Or just imagine that, like, let's say that Bryan hadn't gotten hurt. He's the champion at WrestleMania 30. He runs that, and then you have some mega heel like Kevin Owens or Samoa Joe or whoever you built up at 31. The rub you could – or even Brock. Mm-hmm. The rub you could have given them from him – you know, they take down Bryan in a great 25-minute classic. You've got your next big thing. But yeah. They, for some, I mean, granted, I understand that he's a bit frail. He's been hurt now, what, twice and within 2 months of getting a championship. So I can understand the hesitancy, but he's so over that you kind of go, it's worth it. It's worth the risk. He's just, how many guys are that over right now? You have Brock, you have him, you have Taker, you have Rock. Three of those are part timers.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, back to the actual topic at hand with Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens. Andy, what do you think? Do you think that this is where you pull the trigger, you give Kevin Owens the belt back, or do you move him on to bigger and better things?
I think you have to move him on. Just say that, hey, that's over with. When they did the Roman Reigns thing on Raw, I was surprised. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. They're sending Kevin Owens in. And I was like, oh, they're testing something right now. And I believe that's the real reason why he faced Roman Reigns. There is a chance that he could face him or face the champion at, you know, WrestleMania. We don't know yet. I mean,
who do you have Dean Ambrose move on to?
See, I guess I would want him in a program with Del Rio, but you got to have him drop the title then, unless combine the titles.
What if they did a unification at WrestleMania?
I don't know, man.
I want to unify. Like, honestly, I want to unify because when you have that many titles, none of them are important because there's none of them are the focus, you know, like instead you have the IC and you have the world and those are the focus.
And you got the tag and the divas. So you only have four championships, basically, you know, that might help things out. I just wish that they would have US title on one and then IC on the other. So like have one on Raw, one on SmackDown. I wish that's what they would do with this, but yeah, I see your point. They could unify it. Have Kevin Owens, you know, have Dean Ambrose go with Del Rio, have an awesome match at Fastlane, and then say, we're going to unify the titles. You know, they could do something where I'm sick of this or whatever, and maybe do a cage match, something like that. Who knows?
If Del Rio is the U.S. champion.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, Kalisto won it on Raw, and I was so excited about it. I was like, whoa, Lucha, Lucha, Lucha. And then he lost it on SmackDown. What a bummer. I mean, that just ticks me off. I don't like the hot shots like that, especially with that title. You know, they gave it just to see what the crowd would react. And I thought the crowd reacted really well. I was like, oh, wow, they really like the fact that Kalisto won it. And they're all doing the Lucha. And then on SmackDown, he loses it. Just so disappointing. But
That's a part of a tribute to, I think, the crowd doesn't like Del Rio that much. Like, you know, people were happy to see him come back, but I think I've said this before, he's not exactly the most popular superstar. Most of the time, people are very indifferent to him. I kind of want the U.S. title gone, too. It hasn't been the same since it left WCW. I do think Kalisto should have a bright future. I think he can be their new Rey Mysterio, but they need a third-tier title. They need that European television title that you can actually hotshot back and forth on Raw and SmackDown, and it doesn't really matter if you have a three-week reign because, you know, it's that type of title, right? It's just
exactly.
But your IC title should not be that. Your U.S. title should be a title that means something. It should be a stepping stone. This guy's a future world champion. Right now, the U.S. title basically is either you're a former U.S. champion who can't get the main belt back, or you're a nobody who happened to win a title that'll be gone. And, you know, it doesn't mean anything right now. There's no real excitement from being a U.S. champion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wish they would bring back the U.S. Champion rule where, hey, you can challenge the heavyweight champion whenever you want. I wish they would bring that back. That
was never a WWF rule, though.
It was only WCW. But it'd be funny if they brought it back and then someone's like, what? When did that happen?
Well, TNA tried that, didn't they, with the X-Division. I actually would like that if it was like set at a pay-per-view, because there's an interesting story where you could say, instead of trying to go for the heavyweight title, you could actually have main eventers going after a U.S. title because they want to cash in at Survivor Series or Money in the Bank or wherever you want to do it. But that's way too much creative thinking.
And the other thing also I thought was interesting, that Brock Lesnar returns. He cleared the ring, beat up New Day. And I didn't like the fact that he F5'd Owens. I didn't like that at all.
And did he F5 Owens? I thought he just suplexed him.
Oh, you're right. He just suplexed him. But I didn't like the fact that that happened, because I was like, oh, well, they're not gonna wrestle now at WrestleMania because of
not
that.
Not necessarily.
Well, it could be teasing it, but I don't know. It just kind of ticked me off. But he still returned. He came out, F5'd Roman Reigns, though, to end the show. And that was it. I was like, well, that's interesting that that happened. But what are your thoughts on Lesnar, Aaron?
I love seeing Lesnar. You know, he is booked consistently well. He is booked as the final boss in a video game. He really is. He comes out there and the crowd is, they are focused. They are focused on Lesnar. They're focused on what he's going to do. And it honestly almost reminds me a little of Stone Cold, because when Stone Cold came out, everybody focused everything on Stone Cold. It did not matter what else was going on, if it was a match or what. Everything was on Stone Cold and to see what he would do. And they're doing the same thing with Lesnar. And they did not oversaturate Raw with Lesnar. I think they showed him one other time. They had Paul Heyman segments, but they showed Lesnar one other time. And then he came out there and he just destroyed that ring. And he basically said, I'm here, I'm in the Rumble, and everyone is going to fear me. And that is what you are supposed to do. Now, the other thing that needs to happen, though, is that you need to build some other credible contenders. So that way, in the Rumble, when you have, if Kevin Owens is in there, Kevin Owens and Lesnar get a stare down, I'm interested in seeing what will happen. But you have to make Kevin Owens credible for that. Same thing with like an Ambrose or a Del Rio or you know, Sheamus. I know that they wrestled recently, but you know, you have to basically make it you have to make credible threats to Lesnar in his potential to win the WWE title.
I mean, I can echo everything that Aaron said about Lesnar. He's the perfect final boss. When he is on television, what he is doing is important, and that is a well-booked superstar. There are very few people who are must-see TV, or what Heyman said, can't miss. Yes. Whatever Lesnar's on TV, you can't miss what happens. The problem is, and this is what Aaron was saying, there are no credible threats. When he steps into the ring, I know that there's one person who can potentially eliminate him, and it's Roman Reigns. I don't believe for a second that Sheamus, Del Rio, Rusev, Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, Strowman. Kalisto.
You don't think Kalisto could?
I don't think Kalisto could do it. I don't think he has. I mean, you know, I don't even believably think that Randy Orton can do it. I don't think that any of those guys, I don't think Bray Wyatt can do it. I think The Undertaker could do it, but he has no reason to be in the Rumble because he doesn't compete for the title anymore. So they need to do a better job of building up threats. I do think he will end up facing Wyatt at WrestleMania. I think you do if they're smart, you do a Conquer the Conqueror type storyline where he believes that it was his birthright and fight Undertaker and all that stuff. And maybe this is where they jumpstart it, because if Lesnar doesn't win, it has to be Reigns. I think we agree that those are the only two people who can win the Rumble believably. It's not going to be Sheamus.
The Miz?
It's not be... Oh my gosh. Okay, I guess we could throw The Miz in there because he's going to get to the final four, if, for those who were listening before.
There's no way Del Rio is going to be at the pay-per-view.
Well,
and Andy's going to be right somehow.
If Jack Swagger comes back and eliminates Brock Lesnar, I will eat my hat. You can quote me on this one. I will eat it. I will saute it up. I will put some hot sauce. If Jack Swagger eliminates Brock Lesnar, I will eat my Rams hat.
If Swagger eliminates Lesnar, you can never have Chipotle ever again.
Deal.
And if you want to sit there and write about this, you should go get a blog from HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs that are free to build, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top. Save big on items from WWEshop.com.
So before we get into Impact Wrestling, Roger, I want to ask you, and we'll talk about this again because plans may change, but early plans for Royal Rumble, Who are your final four? Is it Miz and Swagger?
The Miz and Jack Swagger as the final two. Okay, real talk. My final four originally did include John Cena. I thought he would be there, but now he's injured. I have Roman Reigns. I have Brock Lesnar. I have Dean Ambrose. I think the fourth one is a special one. I think it's – I can't give a name because but I think it's going to be your Mr. Perfect, your – you remember how that – not Mr. Perfect itself.
I was going to say.
But in 02, remember how you made that comeback to the final? I think he's that random person who doesn't fit and kind of just – you know,
like Jericho.
Like Jericho, maybe. Exactly. Yeah. Because I don't think they have a fourth person built right now. Maybe you throw Sheamus in there, but that's boring.
What about Bray?
So I'm not so sure that Wyatt won't already be eliminated and won't come back and take out Lesnar. It's kind of a revenge. Now, maybe Lesnar tosses him out early. He comes back with the Wyatt family. You know, they turn the lights off. He kicks back on, attacks Lesnar, tosses him, that kind of thing. If I thought AJ was going to debut, I also could see an NXT guy potentially coming up. It probably won't be Finn Balor because I think he's still the champion. This would be a good spot for Joe. This would be an excellent spot for him.
It'll be Baron Corbin, though.
Sadly, it could be Baron Corbin or Coben.
my bad.
No, it's all right. He's terrible. But I think if you're building the next big NXT star, you can have them last to the Final Four without having to go over anybody strong, but say, hey, you made it to the Final Four of the Rumble. That's a big accomplishment. So I think it's easily Lesnar, Reigns, Ambrose, and the fourth mystery person. I don't think it's anybody we're thinking of. It's not going to be Styles. It could be the other guy, King of Making Roman Look Strong style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shinsuke Nakamura. But they said that he's not going to be there till February.
Oh, okay.
Is what they said, so...
Yeah, he still has to pass all of his blood tests and all that fun stuff. So, and he has to get his work visa taken care of, and that's going to take some time.
Daniel Bryan got cleared. He's in my final four.
No way. Yeah. He gets thrown over the top. Doesn't matter who wins. The crowd craps all over.
Everyone starts leaving is what's going to start
Lesnar
happening.
Lesnar wins, it doesn't matter. The crowd will crap
all over. Actually, here's the thing. You do have an out, though. If Lesnar eliminates Bryan, the crowd will accept it. He is the only person who could eliminate Daniel Bryan, and the crowd will deal with it. Absolutely 100% guaranteed.
I think the crowd would still – they would still hate it.
They would not like it, but they wouldn't turn on it. Now, the moment Reigns eliminate Lesnar, then it's over. But Lesnar could probably – because he's been booked so well and the crowd loves him so much. They could – because that's the type of person Lesnar would be, is that he would laugh about it. He would toss Bryan flying over and they'd be like, that's Brock.
What if they did a situation where like Lesnar eliminates Baron Corbin right away, and then Daniel Bryan gets the cheap, throws him over, and then it's just Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, and then Brock Lesnar comes in and eliminates Daniel Bryan, so just because Roman Reigns
crowd
will
win. Crap all over it.
The crowd would crap over it the moment it's down to Bryan and Reigns because we know who's going to win. Mm-hmm. Like it has to be down to Lesnar and Reigns because he's the only one we believe who can save us from Roman.
Not Y2J. He's not going to be the one of the last four. Okay.
Has Jericho ever made a final? Oh, once. He's made the final four when Sheamus Brogue kicked him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio have each won a Royal Rumble, and Rusev got to a final two. Mm. That is the people who are getting pushed right now. Meanwhile, Daniel Bryan's never gotten to the final four. CM Punk has never gotten to the final four.
Just one more thing. Whoever comes out at 30, if it's not Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles, they're going to boo the crap out of him. I'm just going to say that right now. It doesn't matter who it is. You might as well at that point send Kalisto or send Swagger, you know, someone, because they're just going to boo the crap out of him. But yeah, so let's talk some Impact Wrestling this week. I thought it was a good show. I actually enjoyed it. I was surprised at a couple things. Beer
out
Money's
of five
back.
Stars.
I'd say three. Because most of them have been like twos, but
you enjoyed it and you're giving it a three, not a four.
I can't give it a four. It's close. Like it's.
I understand that because three is enjoyable, four is good, five is great. Yeah.
Yes, so it wasn't bad. It has been bad for a while, but that's because they taped everything in what, July. I mean,
hey, Austin Aries, who got kicked out of
his that's right,
back, and he's in the World Title Series.
Yep,
all of a sudden,
Josh Matthews. I know all you internet nerds are wondering why this is. Well, it's because he's a former champion, but that doesn't explain anything, though. You literally didn't. You're like, you didn't explain anything.
Whether or not you're employed, former champion rules is like the Masters. Yeah. You always have a spot.
I actually did not enjoy it as much as you, Andy. If I were to give it a rating, I would have said like 2 out of 5. I really, the beer money segment, to be honest, as much I love James Storm and Bobby Roode, but
it went too on too long. I thought
it went on way too long. And I think they were doing like in jokes between the two that I didn't get, that I didn't find interesting or funny. So that went on way too long. The segment with Ken Anderson and Matt Hardy also, it was kind of a little contrived. Yeah. I thought. And I don't think you need dual like segments like that. Huh? You don't have Miz TV and the, you know,
highlight reel.
The highlight reel and the cutting edge all on the same show. It's WWE, so they'll probably do it next week. and, you know, and the Peep Show. The Peep Show would be there too.
And Piper Spit.
Piper Spit, hosted by Jimmy Snuka.
From prison.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. Oh, that's so bad. But yeah. But the
matches were good. You know, that's the thing. Like, TNA does have some, you know, world-class wrestlers, and obviously the main event was good. You know, that was something that I thoroughly enjoyed. But yeah, I don't know. I would say 2 out of 5, just because of the segments.
And if you didn't know, but believe it or not, there was a girl that was in the Knockouts, and she was in that match, and then she was also on NXT as well, which I thought was interesting. She just wrestled for Impact, and then, hey, it's Thursday. She decided to go to the NXT tapings, which I found that a little funny, but, you know, that doesn't happen too often.
Let's get because I've called him a D-minus in the past because I don't think Eric Young has much value. He won the King of the Mountain title.
Jeez.
He is Jeff Jarrett.
I just don't care about this title. I just don't care about it. Big
deal.
You know,
this is his second reign. Yeah. Because he was previously the Global Championship, which is what this belt was in one of its 4 incarnations, I think, now.
Yeah, probably.
Legends Championship, Television Championship, yeah. Global Championship, and now a King of the Mountain Championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he is now a 2-time champion. First is King of the Mountain. EY.
Why don't they just call it the TV title?
Well, that's the thing. I'm okay with him holding this more than I am the world title.
Why? What do they see about Eric? And maybe I'm just a little too biased. What do people see about Eric Young? He is not a face of a show to me. Like, even on a roster as depleted as TNA, I can think of at least 6 guys I would use over him. Both of Beer Money, Ethan Carter III, Ken Anderson, both of the Hardys,
Lashley,
yeah. Bram, when they had Magnus. I don't understand what about Eric Young is so appealing to them. I just don't. He's an average wrestler. He's an average talker. He doesn't have a great look. Does he have like dirt on Dixie Carter?
That's what I'm mean.
Because he was never pushed this hard before she got here. Mm-mm. He was Team Canada's lackey.
Oh, that's right.
I feel that even with that, he wasn't pushed very hard until they decided to give him the title. It was kind of, I felt, almost out of nowhere.
It's like they capped on the Daniel Bryan thing.
Yeah. Like, I think that's what they were trying to do. They were like, oh, you know, he's the underdog who's going to do it. But he didn't have the momentum that Daniel Bryan had. Daniel Bryan has wrestling ability, and I think that Daniel Bryan is a better talker than EY as well. So
he was also built. Former yeah. world champion, Money in the Bank winner. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they took 2 to 3 years to build him up to where he could believably beat Cena. What is it? Magnus, who was a dominant champion for about 6 months, just randomly lost to Eric Young. It just made Magnus look like a joke.
And Magnus, I think that they did a very mediocre job with his title reign. But, you know, and I like Magnus. I think that Magnus is I think WWE should try and snatch him up, to be honest. I think that he should 28? Go to NXT. Yeah, I think he might be even younger than
he's
that.
He's young. Like, he's got a good look. He's a good wrestler. How do you not build around this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and I completely agree. Especially, you know, like, he knows how to wrestle, and I believe that he is a champion. There's no way I can think about that. But
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You look at a guy and you go, champion. Like that's the thing. And EY, you know, if we're doing a hierarchy here with a world, an IC, a European, he's European. And like, he can contend for the IC, never hold him. You know,
he shouldn't even touch your world title, not to hit somebody with it.
No.
By the way, Magnus, he's 29.
Yeah.
Oh, so he still has some years. I mean, he has a good 5 years that he could run the WWE. And with Finn Balor, I think Finn Balor's also 34. That's the thing. You could have Magnus come in and tear it up. And he is a believable champion, too. He has a great look, too.
And you know what? If you really want to do a real, like, heel faction sort of thing, do a UK one where you have Barrett, Balor, Sheamus, and, you know, Magnus, whatever.
With William Regal as your speaker?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Did that make it perfect?
Becky Lynch in there, too?
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, that's a real good League of Nations, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah,
that,
clean
that,
up aisle five.
Yes, Aaron, that's one of the best things I think.
Let's keep it reasonable. Go TNA. Yeah. Your main event of Bound for Glory should have been Magnus as the face versus Ethan Carter III.
I agree.
That right there is a
great match.
5-minute main event. Hey, come watch our show instead. Drew Galloway, who's okay. Matt Hardy, who's 42.
He's old.
Who had no business in that title match.
Mm-hmm.
And then EC3, who's a legitimate franchise player. And this is why you're on Pop TV.
Yep.
Exactly. And I want to give Ethan credit, the third, or Ethan Carter the third, EC3. You got to give him credit because he has just been tearing it up. He is TNA. There's no way Matt Hardy is not the face. I like Matt Hardy. He's not there anymore. It is EC3, and they should just push him down our throats. But at what point do we have to turn him face? That's the other thing. At some point, he has to be
down our throats necessarily. But I agree. I think that, you know, when AJ left, I look probably to Bobby Roode, I would say, as the next face. But right now, I actually look to EC3 as being the face of TNA. And, you know, I mean, he was obviously, Andy, you and I, we picked him for our Wrestler of the Year because I think that they booked him well. They booked him how he should be booked, you know, for if you look from, you know, calendar
at the beginning.
Up until, you know, the very, you know, December. Really Bound for Glory. They booked him correctly. And he had a good mini feud with Jeff Hardy. He had a good feud with Angle, a good feud with Spud. I mean, like, he made Rockstar Spud look great. Like, he made Rockstar Spud look like a contender for the world title.
And that is a good heel champion when you can take anyone and make them believable and make the crowd want them to beat you. That's a good heel champion. That is a guy you build around. That is a guy WWE regrets missing on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, legitimately, he should be in NXT right now. He is that good. He's probably one of the few people in TNA who I'd say belongs in NXT. Him and Roode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They would tear it up. A correction, by the way. The girl who I was talking about was in the Knockouts thing. That was actually at the One Night Only pay-per-view, which was taped after NXT. So she made it on both shows. If you saw
who
the... Deanna something?
So it's not one of NXT's regulars. It's just a one-off.
Yeah, it's a one-off. I can't think of her name. Of course, you know, hey, we're recording, right? but she was in it. That's it. There's nothing else. My bad. I forgot about that. Overall, by the way, the Jake the Snake doc came out. Have you guys watched it yet?
Not yet. I do have it, and I am going to watch it here probably over the weekend is my guess. And then, you know, we can talk about it if we don't have too much Royal Rumble stuff to
talk
about.
That's true. And I'll tell you the truth. I watched it, and I want to say that it was really good and uplifting as well. They did an excellent job talking about Jake the Snake and going through his demons and everything. So it was great. If you need to, you know, got to get it, go get it. Definitely watch it. It's one of the better ones, probably the doc of the year right now. I know,
not to be morbid or black humor or anything, but I find it just a little strange. And I've said this before, that Jake the Snake outlived Piper, Savage, Warrior, like all of, I mean, you know, if you'd have told me 10 years ago who were the wrestlers I would have said are probably on like Death Watch, Jake the Snake was number one. Him and Scott Hall were competing for one and two.
Yeah.
And they're both alive. Like, I'm not sad about the fact that they're alive. It's just I didn't expect him to outlive Piper.
They are the Mick Jaggers of wrestling.
Oh, they're the Keith Richards.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Keith Richards.
Yeah, there you go.
And somehow they've outlived David Bowie. Like, yeah. I'm happy for Jake the Snake. I'm glad he cleaned his life up. I wish other people, because I don't know if it's DDP yoga or maybe he just hit so far rock bottom that he figured, hey, I have nowhere else to go but up. But how is he here? Like, I just don't, I mean, good Lord, I don't know how he's still here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it. And, you know, of course, at the end of the year when we all do our, you know, end of the year candidates for everything, I'm sure it's probably going to be an early contender for video of the year for all of us.
Definitely. And also, I want to one more thing with you're talking about people not living long. Lemmy from Motorhead passed away, and Triple H probably had one of the best eulogies I've ever heard. Hands down, if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. Go check it out. It was funny. And you talk about Jake the Snake, and then you hear about what Lemmy did for Trips when he saw Stephanie was hilarious. So gotta check it out.
You gotta check it out.
You'll start laughing. Definitely something to listen to. But that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AltamarkAid6. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes and Roger Cave, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.